We're going through something absolutely historic.
Technologies across the board are growing exponentially.
It's a disruption that's going to completely redefine the way businesses compete.
In the next decade, we're going to lose 40% of today's Fortune 500 companies.
The exponential growth of computing is continuing.
AI is nowhere near its full potential.
Whether you like it or not, that the future cannot be stopped by anyone.
Hi there, everybody. This is Mark Verbenkoff, and welcome back to the Future Tech and Foresight podcast, episode number 128. So I'm sure that many of you who listen to podcasts are generally curious about kind of what is going on in the world beyond technology, and have no doubt followed to a certain degree some of the larger events of the last few years, like COVID or Ukraine and Russia and the Israel-Palestine conflicts, etc. And you've most probably gotten much of your information from social media platforms like Twitter, YouTube, TikTok, and of course others. So for myself, I found it was actually incredibly interesting to see narratives kind of form slowly in real time around the complex Middle Eastern situation that we're all seeing now, as opposed to the rather quick and decisive takes of previous events. And now, once some degree of clarity of the accepted facts have been generally understood, there seems to be more than usual heated takes on the current Israel-Palestine conflict. So with this in mind, I thought it was actually a good idea to review some of the impacts of social media technology itself on the shaping of or the perception and discourse around global events. So to kind of recap very quickly, I think the two main events that really got people started thinking about the impact of social media were, of course, the Cambridge Analytica scandal and the allegations of Russian interference in the 2016 U.S. presidential election. So the Cambridge Analytica scandal, which came to light in early 2018, revealed how personal data from millions of Facebook users was harvested and used for political advertising. This raised serious concerns about privacy, data security, and of course the influence of targeted advertising in political campaigns. And then the alleged Russian interference in the U.S. presidential election, which involved the use of social media platforms to spread misinformation and sow discord, really brought to light the power of social media in influencing public opinion and, of course, the democratic process. So both events underscored the potential role of social media in shaping political narratives and public opinion. So kind of using these previous events as a loose reference, let's look at some of the other impacts that social media can have and tie them to some of the more recent events. So let's first look at this idea of amplified emotions. So in an age where information is both abundant and fragmented, social media platforms become, I think, really powerful echo chambers, intensifying emotions and polarizing opinions. So there's a study by Springer Link, and it analyzed the influence of tweets during the Ukraine-Russia conflict, and it highlighted how user-generated content significantly impacted digital social circles by mapping the different likes and sharing of the different content that was under kind of analysis. So another research piece on ResearchGate focused on the emotional analysis of Twitter during the same invasion. And it revealed the profound effect of verified accounts on shaping public sentiment. I'll have the links up in the show notes, but these are just two of many, many, many research articles out there showing that people really do get influenced by different kind of tweets or content on the various social media platforms. And such platforms usually oversimplify views due simply to their structure, like having small word or character limits, or now training people to only pay attention if a sufficient emotional hook grabs someone's attention within the first few seconds. You can think of catchy YouTube thumbnails or that quick emotional hook in the first few seconds of a TikTok video. And if they're not there, that video or that content will not be consumed by the user. So because of this, narratives today can actually be seen to be more shaped by emotional resonance rather than factual or complicated debate and discussion. So for instance, in the current Middle Eastern conflict, emotionally charged images and posts for both sides frequently overshadow the complex realities on the ground, simplifying quite a multi-layered issue into one-dimensional narratives that people can easily like, share, and comment on, much easier than, say, long-form dialogue, podcasts, etc. This feeds into the second idea, which is the dilemma of nuance in a fast-paced world. So as our consumption of media becomes more fragmented, the trend towards bite-sized content significantly reshapes our understanding of global issues. So according to the Nyman Journalism Lab, there's a growing crisis in trust towards mainstream journalism. This decline in public confidence in the press is part of a broader skepticism towards various institutions, leading to an overall trust recession, as people have called it. And social media, specifically short-form content, has been taking up the slack. This shift to convenience over comprehensiveness has resulted in a superficial grasp of the event's complexities. So important details and nuances are actually often lost in a sea of short, sensational clips, leaving the public with a fragmented and sometimes misleading picture of the current situation. Though there is, of course, the countertrend with long-form content like podcasts that are also being looked at compared to, or looked at more compared to, mainstream journalism, that enable an even more nuanced perspective than traditional journalism oftentimes. But we'll come to the positive benefits of social media at the end of today's episode. So moving on to a third point, specifically the tribalism aspect of social media. So social media's influence extends to fostering a form of digital tribalism. As outlined in an article by Psychology Today, the rise of digital technology and social media platforms has actually increased tribalism, which can narrow perspectives and diminish empathy towards differing views. I think it's pretty easy to understand why. If you have an emotional reaction, you're much more likely to follow views that cater to that emotional perspective rather than having a, you know, longer debate and dialogue where logical arguments can be put forward, enabling people to kind of understand a situation at a deeper level. And by doing so, you can actually have a little bit of empathy or more empathy to the other side, because there might be some actually good and logical arguments and points to the other side. So this tribalistic approach simplifies global events into a binary of good versus evil, urging users to, quote-unquote, pick a side, often overlooking the nuances that define most geopolitical issues. So I think it pressures individuals into forming hasty and sometimes ill-informed opinions, contributing to a divided and polarized online community. This mentality is further reinforced by social media algorithms that purposefully create echo chambers, amplifying confirmation bias and limiting exposure to diverse viewpoints, as this feeds the attention-based business models of these platforms. So with that in mind, let's quickly review or revisit the Social Dilemma documentary. So with this documentary, we are reminded of the manipulative nature of social media algorithms, and of course the business models of the platforms that thrive on user engagement. As discussed in the book Rethinking How We Think, social media algorithms exacerbate social and political polarization by optimizing for addictive effects, leading to distortion and the spread of quote-unquote fake news. This dynamic not only escalates conflicts, but also distracts from productive dialogue and genuine understanding, as different users increasingly receive varying information, pushing them into ideological silos, and then pits those silos against each other as the aforementioned emotional impact triggers increased engagement and use time of the apps, which logically generates more ad revenue for the platforms. I think that the documentary did a fantastic job of showing how this is done and how it doesn't benefit individual people nor society as a whole. So take this as a small reminder and try to avoid the quagmire of emotion-infused content on all of these social media platforms, and take the information for what it is. Now, as I started a business a couple months ago, I've been clearly consuming a lot of information that is not part of the current news cycle, but rather how to be more effective and efficient, how to market, how to price things correctly, et cetera, et cetera. And there are, of course, many famous speakers on the subject. And one of the guys that I keep coming across is Brian Tracy, and his insights on the distraction of focusing on elements outside of our control, I think are particularly relevant in the context of social media. So these platforms often divert our attention from critical thinking and problem solving to these kind of unproductive arguments and debates. And there was an article written in The Phoenix that stated social media echo chambers discourage critical thinking by exposing users to only one perspective, perpetuating closed-minded attitudes, and of course, increasing polarization. So this distraction keeps us engaged, but detached from the realities and complexities of the issues at hand, leading us to a poorer understanding and fewer solutions. And perhaps just as important, if not more, keeps us distracted from doing the things in our lives that are important, or weirdly, I would say, the things that we actually enjoy, which is really Brian Tracy's insight on this whole distraction idea. So, you know, there's not necessarily a lot that individuals can do apart from, protest for ceasefire or, for the continuation of defense of Israel, whichever side you're on with the Middle Eastern conflict. But at the end of the day, you are essentially putting a lot of time and effort into something that, even though it's important on a social level, it's not something that you can necessarily change. And yet many people are putting a lot of effort and emotion into such a thing rather than focusing on things that are within their own control. And there's one of the other insights that Brian talks about, in that, essentially one of the things that makes us happy is focusing on things that we can change and acting on those things. And the opposite is true. So if you're unable to change something and you put a lot of focus and energy and effort into it, but nothing moves, that typically leads to a less desirable mental state. So I thought it was something interesting to point out as I talk about social media. So of course, there are many other negative impacts of social media, but I think it's still relevant to talk, or at least mention, some of the positive impacts of social media in the global discourse. So despite its pitfalls, social media also plays, I would say, a significant role in positively shaping our understanding of global events. One of its most notable benefits is the democratization of information. Social media platforms provide an unprecedented ability to see multiple sides of an issue, breaking down the barriers of traditional media gatekeeping. So we now have access to a wide array of voices, from highly educated experts to ordinary citizens experiencing events firsthand. This diversity of perspectives, I think, really enriches our understanding and challenges our preconceptions of the issue at hand. Moreover, social media has become a powerful tool for real-time information and live coverage, much more so than at any time in the past. It allows us to witness events as they unfold, often through the eyes of those directly affected, right? All you need is a mobile phone with a camera on it and an internet connection, and anybody in the world is actually able to see exactly what is happening on the ground. Contrary to, in the past and even currently, what mainstream news organizations and the media might be purporting, which is, very closely tied to this disillusionment or this lack of trust that people and society in general are having towards the mainstream. So this immediacy of information provides a raw, unfiltered view of global happenings, often faster than the traditional news outlets, which is, has been their bread and butter for the past several decades. So social media also empowers us to fact-check statements made by both powerful figures and ordinary individuals. This capacity for instant verification serves as a check against misinformation and helps to maintain accountability in public discourse. Users are no longer passive consumers of information. They are active participants in the verification and dissemination of knowledge. So we can kind of summarize today's exploration into social media's role in global conflicts by acknowledging both its challenges and its benefits. However, as we look to the future, which is one of the main themes, of course, on this podcast, it's important to consider the rapidly growing influence of artificial intelligence in this realm. AI, I think, really has the potential to further amplify both the positive and negative aspects of social media. It could enhance our ability to access diverse perspectives, fact-check information quickly, and provide more personalized content. Yet, and this is something that I think is quite important, it also raises concerns about the escalation of echo chambers, generating even more engaging or addicting content, and of course, therefore, the manipulation of public opinion. So as we embrace these technological advancements, I think our responsibility to engage critically and thoughtfully with media content becomes ever more crucial. Well, thanks for listening to this week's Future Tech and Foresight podcast. If you like what you've heard here, there are, of course, a number of ways that you can support the podcast. The best way would be to leave a review on Apple Podcasts or give a rating on Spotify, which you can find a step-by-step explanation for on the futuretechandforesight.com website. Alternatively, feel free to leave a comment either on the episode show notes or the YouTube channel where you can see video recordings of the interviews. And finally, if you are part of an organization that is aware of the disruptive and transformational impact that emerging and future technologies will bring and want to know more, please get in touch to hear about the strategic foresight services that we offer and how we can help future-proof your organization and take advantage of the phenomenal opportunities available to survive and thrive in the future.
A lot of future shock people and future shock institutions in our society are simply overwhelmed.
Once there is superintelligence, the fate of humanity may depend on what the superintelligence does.
Science fact is catching up to science fiction.
The first truly intelligent machine will be the last invention that humanity needs to make.
The only scarcity that will exist in the future is that which we decide to create ourselves as humans.
Within a 10-year design revolution, we can have all humanity living the highest and living anybody's ever known.
Progress is accelerating at an exponential pace, and it's going to reach a point where progress is so fast, it's going to be a singularity.
We are probably one of the last generations of Homo sapiens.
Every single headline points to the birth pangs of a Type 1 civilization.